crazy. It was just a shift in my thinking when I met with him one day. He said to me, David, you didn't see something on your life that you don't possess. You saw something in me that I'm walking in very, very, deliberately. And you felt an invitation to walk in deliberately and to begin to walk into this thing deliberately. And I was talking to Brian just a little bit before the service, and the reality is this thing is for everyone. And, you know, there's not favoritism with the Lord. You know, he doesn't say, this one's more special than this one's more special than that one. It really is, those who are chosen are those who say yes. So that's kind of the secret. You just got to say yes. And all year long, I just said yes. I said yes, sobbing on the floor, shaking, feeling like I was getting electrocuted for hours. Just crazy stuff. And I just say yes over and over and over again. And a lot of the time, it wasn't comfortable for me. You know, a lot of the time, it was very, very strange for me to say yes. But after it happened, it was like every time I encountered God in these moments, it was like a surgery and I stepped deeper into him. See, I had this idea of God. I had this idea that I was like, God, I want more of you. Like we cry out, we want more of you, God. We want more of you. We want more of you. We want more of you. And that's what I said. But then when I saw people walking in more, it actually kind of like it intimidated me a little bit. And I was like, is that right? Is that a demon? What is that? And so I remember seeing Richard go down and I said to the Lord, that bothers me, but I know it shouldn't. So I'm here for you. So whatever you have, let's go. An hour and a half later, I was out cold, out on the ground. I could not get off the ground, just shaking violently. All the teachers or pastors are coming by and they're like, oh yeah, this is so good. It's in a glory puddle. And I'm like, what is this? I can't. And I remember asking the Lord, what was that? What was that? You know, it's not like he would have these crazy conversations with me when I'd be on the floor. It'd be relatively silent. I don't know what that was. And he just said to me, David, you came here for more of me, but if you want more of me, it can't happen on your terms. I shook you like that because you needed control broken off of you. And it was 2 weeks in, just control, just boom, broken off of me. And this year, I mean, it was crazy. I ended up getting to be a front runner in our school and walk into things. And it wasn't because, again, it's not this special thing. I just kept saying yes. And he kept showing up. And crazy things kept happening. And things that scared me or bothered me or I was uncomfortable with in the beginning of the year, I mean, it's normal now. Things feel normal, or things don't feel normal if that stuff isn't happening. If people aren't getting healed, things feel odd. If demons aren't getting cast out, things feel weird. And so a lot of my dreams now, how many of you guys have had dreams where like you're going toe to toe with a demon? And you're just like, you wake up and sometimes you're like, oh, that was weird. Other times you're just like, man, I handled that, you know? Breezy and I laugh now because I think the thing I was most uncomfortable with was like deliverance ministry. Like just seeing demons cast out of people. It was all I had seen. And like the grit I had had for it was the crazy exorcism movies and wild stuff like that. And then, one time I had a roommate who was dealing with some passengers, as I like to call them. And, I didn't know what to do. So I just quoted Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. That didn't work. And so I had a kind of a sour taste in my mouth for the whole deliverance thing. But I heard this testimony, and how many of you guys know what I'm sharing with you right now is not just conversation. This is my testimony. And if you guys attach faith to it, the testimony, it will actually begin to prophesy in your life. And what has happened in my life will recreate itself in your lives. So just attach yourself with faith. Even if it's strange, just attach yourself. Don't hold a wall up and be like, oh, he's talking about demons or encounters or blah, blah, blah. Like you're going to miss out if you do that. So So anyways, I heard this testimony. Some of you guys know Todd White. And he talked about this girl who was just cutting and demon possessed, and it was just a mess. And he, you know, he just went up and he held her. And he just held her, and she was just manifesting demons, and he just held her and just loved her. And she ended up getting completely set free. Her scars ended up fading away, all that stuff. I heard that like 3 months before I went to Africa. And I was like, that's the kind of deliverance I'm after. The kind of deliverance that is more convinced about who is inside of me than is aware of what's going on with another person. And so I took it, and I'm like, that's mine. And then you guys saw the video that Joel showed. When I was in Africa, I got to experience the exact same thing. A girl steeped in heavy witchcraft and just cutting herself and suicidal and eating disorders and craziness. And I just wrapped her up and she just manifests in demons. And I'm just, you're doing so good. Jesus loves you so much. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. And stuff's just breaking off of her. And something happened in that moment. It was the first time I saw into the spirit, and I saw how terrified demons are of Christians who know who they are. So now when I see a demon, always it's in a posture of fear. Like just, I hope he doesn't see me. And so, you know, that was a big milestone moment. And then sure enough, after this girl gets free, I say, hey, do you cut yourself? And she pulls up her sleeves, and her sleeves are covered in bloody cuts, fresh bloody cuts. And I just start weeping with joy. And I just start singing in tongues and telling her, Jesus makes all things new. He makes all things new. He makes all things new. Those aren't just words. He makes it all new. I look at her in her eyes. I say, he's going to take your scars away. I pull her away from me. I say, lift up your sleeves. She lifts up her sleeves, and we watch them disappear. And she just starts trembling and falls to the ground and cries. And all she can say is, he's taking my scars away. He's taking my scars away. And she's just sobbing. And I'm crying. Oh, my God, you take our scars away. You know? But again, it was that moment where I said yes to something that was strange. And now it's become my normal. And then I know next year and for the rest of my life, strange things will happen. And I'll have the opportunity to withdraw, or I'll have the opportunity to say yes. So I guess my question for you guys today is, what is God asking you to say yes to? You know, some of you guys, he's asking you to step out and be bold in the workplace. Or he's asking you to just kind of let your guard down in a message like today and just say, hey, I don't know who this guy is. He's talking about some odd stuff. But I'll tell you, I can't erase what I've seen this year. I can't erase the encounters I've had with the Lord this year. I can't do it. They've marked me for the rest of my life. Like, I'll never be the same. There's a saying that says, once you've been birthed in fire, smoke will never do. And so, you know, today I just was kind of like, God, what do we want to do here? What do we want to say? And I just kept hearing over and over again, freely you receive, just freely give away. Just tell them everything I've done. And it's on me and them. And I'm like, okay. So, So one day I work at this, you know, West Side Pizza. I follow in Gabe's footsteps. So I was working at this pizza shop, and, you know, people come in all the time and we get words of knowledge and, hey, is your back hurt? Like, yeah. Can I pray for it? Sure. Hey, pray. Oh my gosh. What'd you do to my back? I didn't do anything. Jesus loves you. Give your life to Jesus. Okay. One day this guy, he showed up, and I was just in the back making cheese. And I was like, I was in the back cutting cheese, actually. And he was like, I was like, Holy Spirit, what's up with those two people that just came in? And all I hear is the word Brandon. And I'm like, Brandon. Okay. All right. So I walk up to this young couple. I'm like, hey, I got a question for you guys. And they're like, yeah, what's up? And I was like, does the name Brandon mean anything to either of you? And the girl looks at her boyfriend and she's like, no, why? And I was like, oh, that's all good. I was like, hey, Jesus just tells me things about people. And he just wanted to say something just awesome to this Brandon guy. And she like starts crying, her jaw opens, and she's like, his name's Brandon. And he's like, my name's Brandon. And I end up just talking to this guy about his dad being a drug addict and him being a drug addict and coming out of it. And his girlfriend can't sleep and she's struggling with depression and thoughts of suicide. And we pray and they just get so radically set free and they get healed, saved, and delivered right there on the spot. And this should be the normal for every Christian life. There's a scripture that says in Colossians, you guys know it, Colossians 1:26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people, all of us. To them, God has chosen. And what does it take to say to be chosen? To those God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When I looked at Richard, I saw the hope of glory. I had hope for a glory that I had seen. And I said, that could be mine. When people encounter you in your life, they should be in proximity with you and they should feel a hope for glory like they haven't felt. So, Isaiah 61, it's kind of my life verse. So here's a funny thing. Breezy and I were going to name Isaiah, my son, Ezekiel. The whole time Breezy was pregnant, his name was Ezekiel. We had it down. And then we got to Reading, and a couple months into school, I was reading about Zechariah when the angel tells Zechariah, John the Baptist's name. And immediately I just felt this thing in my heart. His name is not Ezekiel. And I was like, oh my gosh, is it Zechariah? So I like run to Breezy. I'm like, his name's Zechariah. She's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, you don't understand. I read the scripture. She's like, yeah, no, it's not. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, what is it? What is his name? And Breezy and I both look at each other and we're like, Isaiah. His name is Isaiah. And our whole year, Breezy, Elsie, Isaiah, myself, we could not get away from the book of Isaiah. I mean, I'm talking 50 to 100 words from everyone about this Isaiah thing over our lives. And I asked the Lord, and I challenge you guys to do this. Ask God, what do you want my stake in the earth to be? What do you want? What do you want my life message to be? What do you want my stake in the earth to be? And the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me, in Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. And I'm like, I can get behind that for the rest of my life. Because it's just the gospel. We are oaks of righteousness. We rebuild things. We make things new. Where there's brokenness, we come in, and then there's wholeness when we leave. Where there's confusion, we bring clarity. Where there's fear, we bring faith. Where there's sickness, we bring health. Jesus, I understand that this is a declaration of Jesus. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. I understand that. But what does Jesus say in John right before he dies? Just as you sent me into the world, Father, I send them. Just as Jesus was sent, just as Jesus would say, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Jesus is saying, now the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you. So it's like, what do I want my life to look like? I want my life to look like people meeting Jesus. When I get in proximity with them, I want them to feel the fire and love of Jesus for their lives. I want them to feel hope. So, you know, I got a buddy. I have a friend. You know that, you know, Jesus talks about how a prophet is without honor in his hometown. And that kind of, as Christians, we tend to rely on that for our indifference in reaching people that are familiar with us. And we say things like, oh, a prophet is without honor, so I'm just going to do life with him. And it's on you, God. The best man at my wedding, we went through rehab together 8 years ago. He has terrible health issues. He has Crohn's disease, like severe Crohn's. He's had flare-ups. He's got cuts from here to here over the last couple years. He's smoking weed again because he's just so tormented with just pain. And he's just sick. And he feels condemned and disqualified. This guy was a missionary walking in miracles, signs, and wonders. Got sick, got slammed, some sickness bit him, and look at what has happened to his life. So I just talked to him. Kellen, I love you. I wouldn't preach at him. I just talked to him. Tell him this kind of stuff. And then one day, the hope of glory. He said, I don't care what it takes. I'm coming down there and I'm getting healed. And I'm like, come on. And I found in myself this almost like, well, you know, it's Kellen. That's my best buddy. We've done life together. I know that when I pray for strangers and people in churches and stuff, they get healed. But, you know, with Kellen, it's going to be harder. And the Lord was like, why? I was like, well, Lord, because we're friends. He's like, that doesn't make any sense. And he said to me, David, this is about me. If you value Kellen's identity as your friend over the value I put on him as a son, then it's going to be an issue. But if you'll just see him as another son and another object of my love, there's not going to be a problem. So I said, all right. So he shows up and he's supposed to stay for 3 days. He ends up staying for like 14 days. This kid is on his face in the church he's a biker dude. He's covered in tattoos, big old beard, never shows emotion, is constantly in pain, and you would never know it. And he's just flat on his face, altar calls, just crying. Just Jesus just wrecking his life. So good. And, you know, one night, you know, we were praying, and it's so crazy. He had a leg that was like 2 inches shorter than the other, which I never knew. But he had severe back issues, and I didn't know that's why it was. His leg grows out, his back gets healed in our living room one night. And then, like, we're praying, and I literally get this vision of just warm, like, golden, like, honey going all through his intestines and just cleansing his intestines. And he's like, I know I'm healed. Like, now all of a sudden he's got faith. He's like, I know I'm healed. I still feel some pain, but I know I'm healed. He was like, there's no way I didn't get healed. And I'm like, I agree. There's no way. About a month ago, you know, he was still having little pain issues. Oh, and his anxiety. It was the first time in 2 years he hadn't had to smoke weed when he was with us. Because his mind was just still. And so, and he's just, the pain was manageable. So, so he ends up having to go to the doctor. And they're like, hey, you know, we need to do surgery. Your still in pain. We need to go in and we need to cut out. They thought they were going to have to cut out about a foot or two of his intestine. And so Kellen's like, okay, let's do it. It's the third time in 3 years he has to go have this procedure. But he said to me, what was really strange was I wasn't losing weight like I always lose weight when I get really sick. And he said, I stayed at the same weight. So he went into the hospital bed, laid down. The doctors cut him open. And when they cut him open, they found zero active Crohn's disease and fistulas in his intestine. They didn't know. They couldn't understand what was happening. They found a tiny little piece of scar tissue that was blocking part of his intestine, and they cut it. Like, that was it. Stitched him back up, sent him on his way. Came out. His mom, she doesn't really believe in that stuff. And the doctor came out and said, listen, looking at your son's charts, we don't know what to tell you, but that kid doesn't have Crohn's disease. And he just woke up. He called me right as he woke up, and he just started laughing. And he was like, I told him. I told them all. I told my mom that Jesus was going to heal me. So maybe some of you guys in here have family members or people that you've contended for years. And it's just been discouraged, or you're like, well, they need, you know, if they'll just get in proximity with so-and-so, or if they'll just hear this message, or if they'll go to this thing or this conference or whatever, then like the catalyst will happen. It'll explode and their life will be fixed. And all your prayer, all that you've sown into them will be realized. When in actuality, the Lord is saying, hey, take a hold of this thing. Make it your own. And see their identity as an object of my love over a family member, over a friend that you've contended for. And convince yourself, you, it's on you, you have the faith. They don't have the faith, you have the faith. And convince yourself that God wants to heal all of his children. You know, for the longest time, that scripture where Jesus goes into his hometown, and it's like he wasn't able to do many miracles there. And so, you know, for the longest time, you know, but then there's other scriptures that say all who came to him were healed. All who came to Jesus were healed. So you're like, how do I reconcile those two? And it's always been something I've been like, man, so like if people know you, then like they can't honor it. So they can't access it. And I'm going through these things, and Holy Spirit's like, they didn't come to him. It was as simple as them seeing him from across the room and going, oh. Jesus was right there in the room, available, ready and willing and able to heal them. But because they saw him and said, oh, we know him, they wouldn't come close to him. And then they wouldn't walk into the availability that Jesus, he was there, their perfect healing, their wholeness is there. And it's the same thing. It's that yes moment. A lot of us are like, oh, I know God. I've walked with him for so-and-so, so I know how he operates. I know how he thinks. And I'm like, yeah, sort of. He's God. He's real big. The scripture says he's inexhaustible. So how many of us, Jesus is there in the room saying, hey, there's more. There's more. I'm here. There's more. But you have to say yes, and your step actually looks a lot less like physical steps forward and a lot more like, God, show me where I'm wrong about you. Show me where I've limited you. Show me your glory. Show me it. And start to cry out for that. And I promise you, he will smack you with something that you haven't seen before. And it'll trip you out, man. I had some encounters this year that messed me up. I was messed up for like a week. I did not feel right. I felt like split in two. They were not happy encounters. They were fear of the Lord encounters. And it messed me up to the point where I ended up having to talk to Chris Valentin about it. Because I was like, am I doing something wrong? I'm talking to my pastors about it. They're like, I don't know. Yeah, you got to talk to Chris. Like, I don't know about that. And then others of them are like, pray for me. I want it. And I'm like, no, you don't. You know, Chris, he said to me, David, you are called to the radical middle. And I was like, what's that? And he was like, you are called to experience the fear of God and the love of God simultaneously. And he said, you're going to be able to go into places and say, yes, he's this. And people will be like, amen. But then you're going to be able to go to the same place and say, but he's also this. And then through experience, bringing people into those experiences, those encounters, we see that, like, oh, he is a loving daddy. That he is a holy God. And so Chris says to me, David, we have a friend in Jesus. I'm like, yep, we do. And so he said, you need to understand that our friendship with Jesus, we're friends to Jesus, and Jesus and the Father and Holy Spirit are one. But you interact with them, you can interact with them. We interact with Father, we interact with Son, we interact with Holy Spirit. It's not like they're separate, but we interact with their personalities, their heads, right? So we interact with them. And he said, when God, Elohim, invites somebody into friendship, they have to fear him. He was like, look at David, look at Daniel, look at all of them. He touches them so that they know forever. They know forever that the fear of the Lord is what guards their lives. And they're able to stand in a pit with lions, and they're able to get burned at stakes and not get touched because they've experienced the fear of the Lord so real that death doesn't terrify them anymore. That only God is who they fear. So, you know, he was like, he's just touching you. He's showing you the fear of him. But then at the same time, he'd show me the love of him, and I just laugh for hours. There was a couple times, and it's a wild school. So, like, there's a couple times where, I kid you not, there was, like, massive amounts of students, not a couple, like 50 times that people would just have to carry me out because I couldn't function. I couldn't stop laughing or couldn't stop crying or, you know, I'm knocking people's coffee over because I'm falling out. And I'm like, hey, I said yes. I'm not cleaning this up for anyone. So, and there is an element, like, as well, like, honor. Like, I would, like, when I felt something about to happen, I'd be like, get me out of here, somebody's preaching. And then I'd just be in the hallway a mess for, like, 2 hours. I remember, like, 5 messages this year. Like, I was there under some of the best teaching in the world. I remember maybe 5 messages. But what my mind is just wrecked with is just the encounters, the face-to-face encounters with Jesus. My pastor, the first day of school, he said to me, David, your year is going to be marked with face-to-face encounters with God. And I'm like, okay, whatever that means. And then he also said to me, he's going to teach you what the fear of the Lord is this year. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. So I'm going to get a revelation in my Bible, or how's it going to look? And it's like, nope, that's not what it looked like. My year for me looked a lot like there's more on the floor. I was on the floor the whole year. So all that to say, I definitely, you know, we recognize graces on our lives and we want to honor those things and people so that we can access them. And I definitely have come to identify that there's a grace on my life for encounters. And, like, I just carry encounters, and I like to facilitate them and lead people into them, and then the rest is on the Lord. And it's not, I mean, it's, the reality is it's for everyone. So, you know, my encounters are what shape me. My encounters are what mess me up this year. Reading my Bible, and then, you know, because I'm a word guy, so it's like, I got to see this in here, because it freaked me out when stuff was happening. And I'm like, I don't remember seeing that in here. And so, it was kind of like a cycle. I would have a crazy encounter. I'd be like, I don't really know how I feel about that. And then, like, in the scripture, the Lord would begin to speak to me about what was happening. I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, oh, this actually means something literally. Like, we thought, like, when, you know, we read this certain scripture that it was like a figurative thing. It's actually a literal thing, but it's in a deep place that you access, like, it actually. So, so encounters are beautiful, man. I mean, they're a part of life, man. They're a part of walking with Jesus. You know, we give so much power to the word process. And I understand that we're in a process, but we give so much power to it as a church that like we've almost settled for it. And it's like, oh, we're in a process, you know, God's working this out in me. But if you read the New Testament, you know, the biggest pendulum shifts and correction in people's thinking and lives and things like that, we don't read about their process. We read about heavenly visions and encounters that literally take them from this direction to this direction immediately. And so I asked the Lord, what's the point of an encounter? And he said, it's for acceleration. It's for illumination. It's for revelation. It's for activation, and it empowers. Those are the things that happen in encounters. So this encounter idea, I wanna open it up, and I wanna share with you what I've just been given, and what's happened. And there were people who were better students than me this year for sure. You know, like, I wasn't a bad student, but I was not the greatest student there, like as far as my studies and things like that. There were students who spent more time in prayer than me. There were students who, whatever, they just did stuff better than I did. But, you know, I ended up receiving the emerald. And for a long time, I was like, why did I receive that, the highest honor this school has, when there was other teachers and there's other students here that probably deserved it better. And honestly, I just said yes to the Lord every day. Every single day, I just said yes. And it looked different every single day. But I tell you what, man, it was like a super easy yoke. It wasn't like burdensome to say yes. It was just like, this is a little uncomfortable, and that's okay. Yeah, I just want to, how much time do we have? 10:53. I want to just take the rest of the time to just kind of go into encounters and see what Jesus wants to do in this place. You guys got to understand, for me too, this is me saying yes, like in a moment like this. I could very easily come up here and just, you know, preach, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the Lord is like, I'm asking you to do this. And I'm like, yes. So I'm going to do it, because he always honors it. Fire always falls on sacrifice. So, I want everybody to just, your spirit man's right here, right? That's where he lives, the wellspring right here, not your heart right here, your belly. So I want everybody to put their hands on their belly. All right. I want everybody to close their eyes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just want everybody to say, just repeat after me, Holy Spirit, come. Now I want you guys to focus on that warmth that you feel in your belly right now. Focus on it. That's your spirit, man. It's being stirred up. I want you to attach yourself with the spirit man. Tell your mind to get out of the way and just begin to focus on the spirit man. All right. Now I want everybody in here, I just want you guys to envision a river right now. See, the beautiful thing about the imagination is there's a reason why Satan attacks you in your imagination. You know, you get a crazy image in your mind, or you know, a crazy thought or an outcome, and it's riddled with fear. The enemy attacks your imagination because it's the access point to the spirit realm. So some of you guys, when I said see a river, you started to see something else. And if you started to see something other than a river, don't try and go back to the river. Just focus on what he's showing you. And what you guys are going to do is called rehearsal. So you guys are actually, some of you might be seeing one thing and you can't really get past it. Just keep focusing on that one thing, and it'll begin to unfold. Now, you guys that are at a river, I just want you to see this amazing, just a bench right next to this river. Just green grass. There's mountains. There's a meadow. You can hear birds. And some of you guys already see Jesus. He's just waiting for you. So I want you guys to just walk toward Jesus and that bench. When you get close to Jesus, I want you to focus on his eyes. Focus on those eyes, just so full of kindness. Just a jealous fire for you. Just feel the safety of him. And I just want you guys to listen, because he's going to start speaking to all of you guys very different things. Some of you guys are talking to him about healing or about family members or just questions that you have. Some of you guys, he's so happy to see you. I just want you guys to just enjoy this time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, we have access to this place all the time. Big things just become little things in this place. All right, I'm going to have you guys open your eyes for a second. So how many of you guys saw the river and the bench in Jesus by a show of hands? Okay. And then how many of you guys had conversations with him? Okay. How many of you saw something different? Okay. So with one of you guys who saw something different, would you just stand up, one of you, or both of you, or whoever wants to, or a few of you stand up and share what you saw? That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God. What about you?
Mine's totally different.
That's awesome.
Never had this happen before, but I went to a place or whatever, and it was like a lakefront or like an oceanfront beach place, and there was a piece of paper in front of me, and his name was Denny. I don't know if anybody knows that Denny or associated.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's amazing. You need to write that down. Definitely need to write that down. Yeah.
I didn't know. It is drugs and alcohol. And I don't know. But I felt comfort.
Yeah, that's good. That's awesome. See, that's, I mean, just how deeply we are impacted by things. And it just takes 5 minutes. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you may know him better. That's what it says. Like, this is beautiful. Your mind is beautiful. And God, like, I mean, he gave you your mind. He gave you logic. He gave you reason. He gave you those things. But he never gave you those things in place of the superior reality. God is spirit. This is an inferior reality. This is inferior to the kingdom realm, to heaven. That is the superior reality. The Bible says everything that is seen was created by what was what? Unseen. What is superior creates what is inferior. It's not vice versa. So if your inferior reality dictates your relationship with him and your access point to him, you're going to sell yourself short. He'll meet you there and it'll be okay, but it's not the depth. It's not the riches that Paul talks about, that your heart is enlightened, that you know the riches, that you know him better, a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can know him better. Those things happen when you commune with the Spirit. You know, Jesus was here for 30 years. Holy Spirit's been here for over 2,000 and the church knows hardly anything about him. And Jesus himself said, he's better for you than me. He's better for you. It's better if I leave and he comes. And we can be like, yeah, well, that's not what Jesus meant. That is read the context of what he is saying. He is saying, if I don't go, he won't come and you will be sold short. So the Spirit, man, things happen real quick there. Things that take years, take weeks. I saw it. I saw the reality of it. I saw things that were in my life get broken off without me even addressing them. I would just go into an encounter and I would come out and it'd be done. But then I saw people who had this process and literally their entire year was hung up on this one thing. Like, I'm trying to fix this thing. And it was like, God was in it. And they, you know, they saw freedom. But I mean, it took a year. It took me an hour. And it's not because, like, I'm better. It's just God's really, really good at what he does. If we'll just humble ourselves and be like, what do you want to do, God? What do you want to show me? And a lot of scripture that I read started making a lot more sense, like as these encounters and stuff started happening. You know, like the scripture that says, you know, all of creation is groaning for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. That was like a big deal for me because I kept getting these crazy visions, man. Like, heaven on earth is the end of this thing. Like, we're not waiting to be rescued. And then we go to heaven one day and everything's okay. We have been sent here as ambassadors, representatives of a different kingdom to come to this earth. We're here on this earth reestablishing the kingdom of heaven on this earth. And creation is not exempt from that. I started getting wild visions, like wild, wild visions of myself. This year, or like I'd be walking, and as I would walk, I would see like creation healed. Like grass and leaves and trees would just breathe in the glory of God. And I would, like, they started challenging me because I stopped using words a lot when I pray for people because it's not my words that heal you. So I just put my hand on people and I can feel his power. And I'm like, yeah. He's taking care of it. So I started doing that. So the head of healing at Bethel, he challenged me and he was like, stop touching people when you pray for healing. I was like, what do you mean? He was like, just stop touching them. And he was like, you know, I don't walk in it all the time, but he's actually started getting emails from people, just random people. He'll walk past them. This man had prostate cancer for 4 years and was in agonizing pain every single minute of every day. And he walked past Chris Gore, this guy at Bethel, he walked past him. And when he walked past him, the man just started weeping and was completely healed. Went to the doctor and emailed himself, and he started to see that. And it's just like, this is the reality of what we walk in. Like, Jesus made all things new. He says that we're a new creation. My question for you is, what are we? What are we? Are we, you know, are we better humans? Do we behave better? You know? Or are we something different? So, I'm only here for today. So, for those of you guys who need to leave, I just want to honor your time and say you guys can head out. But for those of you guys who want to stay, if you guys have questions or anything like that, I really just want to open it up and just answer any questions I can. I'll stay here for as long as there's questions or there's people that want prayer or there's people that, yeah, want to be like, I'll walk with them into an encounter, whatever. I just want to make myself available and just give away what's been given to me. So, yeah, anybody who has to leave or wants to leave, like, nothing personal. I totally get it. It's Sunday. You guys work. You got to take care of your stuff. So, yeah. So, that being said, I started to, you know, my pastor, I'm going to tell you guys some more encounters because it'll open up some wild stuff. So Benny Hinn came to school this year. I've never seen Benny Hinn. My generation, all we really know about Benny Hinn is the IRS has checked him out a few times. Some people say he's crazy. You know, he takes that coat off and people start falling out. Like, that's, you know, that's about what we know about Benny. And so, you know, they were like, this is optional, but you don't have to go. And I'm like, all right, Holy Spirit, should I go to Benny Hinn? Because I've heard things. Jesus is like, what are you doing? Go to Benny Hinn. So I'm like, all right, fair enough. So he said to me, go to Benny Hinn. I have something for you there. So I'm like, okay, that was 2 weeks earlier. So it's really easy to get caught up in like the who's who of the Christian zoo. And so, you know, when it's like Jesus is like, oh, Jesus has got something for me there. Immediately your mind, as silly as it is, just goes to like, Benny's going to pull me up on stage. He's going to recognize the anointing on my life. He's literally going to pray for me. The heavens are going to open up. Bill Johnson's there. He's going to see it. He's going to ask me to lead Bethel Church. And this is what he has for me. This is what people do. Which is so silly, but it's true. It's what people do. Instead of like, God, you said you have something for me there. Like, not Benny, you have something for me there. Like, we should get as excited when God says, I got something for you. And we're like, Benny? He's like, no, me. So I was in prayer. And, you know, something I learned a lot this year was about like impartation, like the gift of impartation and how important it is. You know, Bill and Chris and all of them, they're constantly laying their hands on us. And like what they fought for decades, they give to us freely in a moment. And like I get to operate under a grace. You know, even Todd White said that like when he went to a Randy Clark conference and Randy laid hands on him is when his healing exploded in his life. It was like that moment. So anyways, I'm in my room and I'm just praying and I'm like, Benny Hinn's coming. I'm about to get up on stage with Benny. And the Lord speaks to me. He says, I am the anointed one. I am the impartation. And I'm like, okay. All right, God, fair enough. So I show up to the Benny Hinn thing. The line is through the roof. I mean, it's like, it's miles long. People showed up at like 5 a.m. I'm like, no. I showed up at like 11. I know some people. I was able to slide in. So I end up going to this Benny Hinn thing, and yeah, this is going to be fun. I'm just going to talk to you guys about encounters. So I go to this Benny Hinn thing, and I sit down in my seat, and as I sit down in my seat, I start feeling sick, like almost nauseous, and I'm like, oh, I feel weak. I feel like nauseous. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I'm like, oh my gosh, am I about to, is there some sort of false situation here? What's happening? And all of a sudden my teeth start chattering, like, and I'm freezing cold. And it dawns on me, I just hear the word holy. And I'm like, oh, I'm feeling the tangible holiness of God, and my body is having like a reaction to it. Like the weight of his holiness. And I'm just like, oh man. So I start feeling my spirit just starts to swirl. Like it feels like I'm just like this. And like my eyes are open, but I'm just like, oh man, this is weird. Benny's not on stage yet. It's like worship is happening right now. And I'm like, this is it. This is it. Here we go. So, and I had some crazy words from my pastor. He just started telling me the craziest stuff. It just like messed me up. He's like, yeah. So God told me that he's about to start taking you to heaven. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, just be ready. So I'm like, all right, let me get myself ready for heaven. You know what I mean? So my spirit just starts swirling. And then all of a sudden I get hit with this wave. And if you didn't know, you would think it was anxiety. But anxiety is a counterfeit to the fear of the Lord. Honestly, when you're in the fear of the Lord, presence of God, at times it feels like almost like anxiety does, except your breathing isn't messed up. But you're like, I gotta go. You know, I gotta go. Something isn't right. And it's just like that veil is opened and you're in his presence and you're like, oh no, I'm a human, you know? So I feel that wave and part of me is like, pull out. And then the other part of me is like, pray. And I just am like, okay. So I start praying in the spirit. And as I pray in the spirit, I feel myself lean past this thing. I feel that leave. And all of a sudden I look up. So crazy. I look up in the civic auditorium and I'm just seeing rainbows shooting back and forth. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm sitting next to my homegirl Vivian. I look at her. I go, Viv, I see rainbows. She's like, oh, that's so cool. I'm like, oh my gosh, I see rainbows. So I see rainbows and I look at Viv. I tell her, I look back up. And when I look back up, it was so crazy. I see this pink and yellow, almost supernova rip in space. And I can look up like a tunnel and I see heaven. And I go, I can see heaven. And I look at Viv, I'm like, I can see heaven. She's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I look at Viv. And then all of a sudden, as I look at Viv, I just hear over and over again, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And it gets louder and louder and louder. And I look at Viv because it's almost like you're lucid dreaming. You're like, in between two places, you're there and you're here. And you got to kind of make the choice which one you want to go with. You know, when Paul's like, I don't know if I was in the body, I don't know if I was out of the body. I'm kind of in that place. You know what I mean? So I'm like, ugh. And so like I hear this. And when I look at Viv and I say, I hear the angels singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Boom, I'm in heaven. Like completely gone up there. So I go, I'm there. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in heaven. Immediately I see Jesus and he's sitting on his throne and he stands up from his throne and he points his finger out like this. And I look at his hand like as I'm at the side. So I'm looking at him like from over there and he's pointing like this. And I see these tears streaming down his face and he's just like yelling. And I'm looking and I look at and I follow the gaze of his hands and I follow the point of his finger. And when I get there, I see the earth suspended in space and he's just pointing at it. And immediately I hear the scripture. He intercedes for the saints day and night. And I just start sobbing because I'm like, oh my gosh, he's on the throne and he's praying for us. And I hear all these angels singing like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And he's not even listening to them. He's not even reveling in praise. He's still so focused on the earth that even though he's in heaven, he's still so focused on the earth that the angel singing is not registering with him. And that wrecked me. So I just fell to my knees and I'm just like, I never cried like that in my entire life. I've never cried to a place where every part of my being was like undone. And I was just wailing at just the beauty of what I was seeing. And so I see that and I'm like, I'm just wrecked. And I hear a voice say to me, I am filling you with the cries of heaven for the lost. And I'm like, ooh. I mean, I'm still a mess about it. This is like the first time I talked about it publicly. So other than with like the leaders at Bethel. And so I end up, that like kind of wave stops, right? And then like my pastor, he said to me, when you go to heaven, look for old saints and kings because they're going to teach you. And so that like goes on in my head while I'm there. See, in the spirit, everything's like telepathic. So you just know, like you don't have to, hi, I'm so and so. You know who they are just by seeing them in your spirit. You just know, right? So I'm like, I look and I'm like, oh, I should look for somebody here. See if I can see someone up here. You know what I mean? And so I turn to the right and I see this man walk toward me. And as he's walking toward me, all I can make out, I make out his hair is slicked back and it's just like covered in oil. He's got a crown and he's wearing this blue like tunic with green and orange like embroidered on it. And he's very serious. He's got a beard. I don't know, just like a stubble beard. Almost like Kim's beard, but it's like almost reddish brown and his hair is like reddish brown. And I look at him and he gets close to me and immediately I just hear David. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's David. And it's so funny. I'm like, oh, David, what am I going to say to David? Oh, this is David. I'm like, what about, this is my guy. This is my guy. I'm like, this is David. And he walks up to me and he's dead serious and he looks at me and he says, I give you the pen. Or he says, I give you my pen. And he drops his pen in my hands. And when the pen hits my arms, my whole body falls over and I'm like undone again, like I was with Jesus, like poof, out again. And he just walks away and I'm just, aah. And so I get up. And then as I get up, I see two thrones, as I could see Jesus's throne, then throne, throne, throne. And two thrones on either side of Jesus, they stand up at the exact same time. They point at me the exact same time. And one of them's Peter and one of them's Paul. And they say, we charge you with the gospel. And I'm like, oh, like undone again. Oh, man, just got blasted. So, whew, this is the first time I really thought about it since it happened. So it's just messing me up again. So, I end up getting up off the ground and I'm just like, ugh, just like undone. It's like every time one of them interacted with me, I was undone again. So like then I turn to the left and as I turn to the left, I see this man and I didn't know his name was this. I didn't know theologians called him this. I'd never heard it said like this ever in my life. So I was like, well, that's cool. I don't even know if he was called this, but when I looked to the left and I saw him, he walked toward me and immediately I heard John the Beloved. And I looked at him and I was like, John. And he leaned in and he came toward me and he put his hand on my head right here and he pushed my head back and he said, I bless you with the assurance of the love of Christ. And he pushed my head back. And as he pushed my head back, I got a vision of him reclining against Jesus's chest. And like, I felt it. And I was like, oh, jacked up again. And then, the last person besides Jesus, I turn to the right again. And he's like, it's an older man. He's got a beard about like Brian's. And like, he's strong and he like walks toward me. And as he walks toward me, he's wearing like this brown like cloak, almost like a Jedi cloak. And he walks past or walks up to me and immediately I hear Elijah and I'm like, nope, this is false. This is false. I've read the stories about the people who think they're the new Elijah incarnate. Wrong. This is wrong. And I hear the Lord just say, trust me. And so I'm like, okay. And he walks up to me. And he says to me, I bless you with my walk with the Spirit. And he pulls his cloak off and he puts it around me. But at him, I didn't fall because I was so like on guard about the Elijah thing that I was like, then you have to show me how to use it. And I said it to him. And immediately I was back in my body, but I could still hear like I was in heaven. And he said, stand up. And I stood up and he said, follow the still small voice. And I walked up to this girl and he said, put your hand on her. I touched her. She falls out, starts shaking. He says, touch him. I touch him, like five people. I just touch him and they fall out like into encounters. And then he says, go sit down. And I sit down and he said, just like that. And then I'm back up in heaven. I've never heard the Spirit so clearly in my life. If I would have closed my eyes, I would have been able to see. Like, that's how, like, led I was in that moment. So I get back up into heaven, and as I see Jesus now, I look, and Jesus is standing, like, up, and there's just white stairs, and he's at the top of these white stairs, and there's a, like, six stairs down, there's an altar, a white altar. And I look at it, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And, like, immediately you just know, like, what you're supposed to do. So I look at myself, and my shirt is off. And I'm like, I'm supposed to go lay on the altar. So I start walking up the altar or walking up the stairs and I lay down on the altar. And Jesus has this thing in both of his hands, this massive seal. And I'm like, Lord, what about this? Like, you're showing me this, but, you know, I've done this in my life. And what if this happens in my life? And what if this happens and you got the wrong one? And I just start like stating my case as to why God should not have chosen me to bring me up here to see this stuff. And I hear the Holy Spirit is a seal. Like he's a seal over you. And he's the seal of heaven. And so he walks up to me and he's holding this massive, you know, those like candle wax things that you would stamp, you know, that's like what it was, but it was like big. And it's cherry red, and he just walks up to me, and I lay down, and I hear him say, will you receive the seal? And I said, I'll receive. And he pushes the seal into my chest. And as he pushes it into my chest, immediately I'm like, oh, that's not too bad. Like, I thought it was going to kill me or something. I'm like, that's not too bad. And so he pushes, but then he continues to press. And as he continues to press, I'm like, oh, no, it is that bad, and I can't breathe. And then I'm like, oh. Oh, and it literally feels like he's going to break me in half. And to the point where like, I can't breathe. I feel the veins in my neck. I'm like trying to get a breath. And I open up my eyes just to see like what my physical body looks like. And I've got both arms like this. My legs are out like this, like a C. Like I've made a C around the seal because he's pushing me so hard that I'm just like, oh. And so I'm just like shaking. And like my whole face is shaking. I can't breathe. And then he just goes, boom, and he pulls the seal up and the vision stops. And I just look and I'm back. And as I look, Benny Hinn walks in the door. And the Lord says to me, I did that to you before Benny Hinn walked in here. So you never got it confused. This is my spirit, not him. And I was like, oh, so that encounter was probably the heaviest encounter I had this year. It felt like 3 minutes. It was like an hour and a half. And you know, even at Bethel, that stuff is not like common there. So like when I started talking to the leaders about it, cause they really like, they like discern that stuff and they're like, well, sit down and tell me what happened. And like, they don't say anything about the spirit, like none of it until they've heard what like your vision was. And then they like listen. And then they're like, either this is vain imagination or this is the Lord. And they like wait to decide. So I told him this story and he was just like, this is why we opened the school, was so that God would pour himself out on people in new ways over and over again. And they were just like, this is the Lord. And they were like, you have 100% permission from the staff to go after this with everything. And so, I was like, okay. And then like Richard, you know, he's like brilliant, like decryption, rocket science, crazy brilliant. So he's like, let me show you what happened. And he like pulls out a whiteboard and he starts like formulaically diagramming like the spirit realm. I'm like, listen, guy, I don't know about all that. Okay. He's like, no, this is what it is. But like, he's like, you have to find, and I want to tell you guys this with encounters, an anchor point. Okay. So you build off anchor points to build a grid. So my anchor point was like the reality of like when I came out of the vision and the Lord was like, our Holy Spirit was like, touch them, them, and them. So I saw fruit in the vision. So it's like, boom, the validity of the vision, like, is testified by the fruit that happened, right? So it's like, I put that down as a post, a starting spot, right? And sometimes you won't have like fruit like that immediately, but you want to look for an anchor point, whether that be scripture that backs up what's happening to you, or it, you know, like something physically happening in this on earth, like through it. And another thing I'll say about visions is, and encounters is we don't replace or make doctrine from them, but we allow Holy Spirit to breathe and to bring like enlightening to things that like we thought we've understood. So, are you guys good? You guys all right? Yeah. So that encounter was definitely a heavy one. My pastor, man, he's so wild because he's not like a, he's not a, you know, it's, how many of you guys have heard the term mystic, right? So mystic has a real sour connotation because of like New Age and things like that. So people are like, mystic, that's weird. That's New Agey. And it's like, no, it's not. If you actually look at the Greek and like the New Testament, the word mysterion or mysterios it's mystic is a derivative of that. So what it's saying is, I asked the Lord, I said, what does it mean to be a mystic, God? Because, you know, Chris and all these people are like, you're a mystic, you're a mystic, you're a mystic. I'm like, whatever that means. So I'm like, what does it mean, Lord? And the Lord speaks to me. He said, David, a mystic is someone who simply understands that the physical realm and the spiritual realm were never created to be separated. And I'm like, okay, so what does that mean? And he was like, you walk without boundaries between the two and you marry them back together. So you can connect with the spirit in a room and the spirit realm in a room and then unlock that and open it. And you don't have to lay your hands on people to get healed. You don't have to touch people. There's breakthrough. And a lot of people do it without breaking down like the mystic thing. Like Todd walks into a room and the spirit realm is with him. And that's why there's freedom and healing and things like that. He's carrying the spirit. So, you know, the spirit, what's it say? Creation's groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. Well, who are the sons and daughters of God? Those who are led by the spirit. Those are the ones that are sons and daughters of God. Just another encounter. And I'm just pouring these encounters out so you guys will just attach your faith to them and have crazy encounters. So another encounter I had, which was absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm picturing Breezy. Oh, yeah, that's my husband, the one laid out there again. You know, like. That's it. That's about what she is. I mean, you kind of started. Sure. So that's good. So actually when this stuff started to happen, and I'll tell you guys about this encounter next, but when it started to happen, it actually terrified me. Because the first time it happened, I walked into my house and I saw Elsie and I saw Breezy and I couldn't feel them. Like I felt like my spirit was gone. And so I just felt empty and that terrified me. Because I'm like, I don't even feel them. My heart doesn't feel them. It was terrifying. So for me, it was really like, I was like, nope, I don't want this. So I'm like, this is going to ruin my family if I go after this. Because I walk into a room and I'm holding Elsie and it's like, I'm numb. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, all the stuff I usually feel for her, I don't feel at all right now. What is happening to me? So, honestly, and that is, Because I'm just going to say, like, I see over your life, you have like a similar gift, like a seeing gift and things like that. So what the enemy is going to do is he's going to try and convince you that you're losing your mind. You're going to lose your family, or your family's going to be damaged if you go after this thing. When in actuality, you become more of who God created you to, and it actually blesses your family more. So like, I see into the spirit, and like, I can get my wife on the phone right now. She is so grateful because I can walk into a room, like we're cleaning out an old house, and I walked into the room and both the parents have died young of cancer. And when we walked into the house, I started getting images of just bodies being like hung, like being strangled and just death. And I just kept hearing death. And Breezy was feeling it as well, but she's not as in tune with it. So she just was like, I don't like it in here, right? So I'm like, well, done. So we walk downstairs, and as I walk downstairs, because this thing is activated, right, I immediately see a spirit of death standing at the bottom of the stairs. And I'm like, you get out of the house right now in Jesus' name. And it looked at me, and here's the funny thing, it's curled up and terrified at the bottom of the stairs. It's not like, it's like curled up and terrified. So I'm like, you get out of the house and you leave in Jesus' name. And what was crazy was it wouldn't move. And then it dawned on me, oh, it's afraid to walk past me. So I moved out of the way and I said, go ahead, you're free to go. And then it whoosh up the stairs. Breezy doesn't see, but immediately she's covered in goosebumps and she's like, I just felt it leave. And she's like, I'm so grateful for you because you see that stuff and you understand how to like conduct yourself in the spirit realm. So it becomes like a covering for your family. So, and again, all of this stuff doesn't replace the word. Like, I'm in my Bible. If something happens that doesn't line up here, then it's done. It's not in my life. But these encounters and things like that, you open up the Bible and you try and disprove them to me. Other than like, it doesn't happen because I don't believe in it. But to answer your question, like, you conduct yourself just how you are. I'm the same person. But it's just like it's always there. So it's like, I'm here with you right now talking. But then it's like, I see with my heart as well. So I can see angels. I can see that stuff. And it's like, I don't get all weird. I don't like say like, hey, let's listen to the angels or let's do this or do that. It's still all about Jesus. Like it's a supernatural life. You know, it's not going to damage your natural life. It's going to unlock like the highest level of life that God has for you. You know, you're going to be able to go into a room and not just feel weird. You're going to see what's going on and be able to handle it. You know, you're going to see sickness for what it is. You know, my buddy Kellen, when he had Crohn's disease, I looked in the spirit. I saw a massive snake wrapped around his stomach. The Lord told me to hit him in the stomach. I was like, nope, I'm not Smith Wigglesworth. And I looked at my buddy. I said, I think the Lord just told me to hit you in the stomach. He goes, do it. I'm like, thank God for him. Bam. And the dude's healed, you know. And I saw the thing fall on the ground, shrivel up and dry. And just turn into chafe and blow away. So it's not, again, those things were never intended to be separated, you know. Like the spirit and the physical were meant to be like this. And that's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. Like they're going to go like this and we're going to see and commune in the physical and the spiritual. They become beautiful, you know, like here's an example. Somebody is super unhealthy. They live an unhealthy lifestyle. You know, they're like very unhealthy. And they end up getting a revelation of who they are and they get a vision of themselves and they see who they truly are. And what happens? 6 months later, they've made massive changes in their life. They're no longer unhealthy. They're in great shape. What they see in the spirit through truth, because they attached faith to it, actually manifested in the physical realm, right? So something that was birthed in the spirit comes to life in the physical. Does that make sense? Okay. Paul, do you have a question?
Those are two of the nine gifts of the Spirit in operation. You know, so just to help support what you're saying, it's all biblical what you're saying. You're just walking through that as you live your life.
And it's,
I kind of hear you saying, and maybe you can talk about this a little more, that we have a choice. We can say yes and go with God as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you feel an impression, if you feel afraid, if your mind is going to, well, what does this look like? Or what happens if this happens? Or this, or this, or this, or this? I live my life in such a way that if I sense even an ounce of fear, I run at it 100%. Because if there's a fear there, it's because the enemy knows that there's a breakthrough there. And there's a higher level, and there's more of God there. And he doesn't want it for you. Like when I started having encounters and things like that, for the first, I haven't struggled with anxiety, any of that stuff for years. When I moved to Reading this year, I battled anxiety for 3 months. And I did not give into it. I just declare truth. I'd have a, and what was crazy is I would contend and I would just be like, this is not who I am. I am not subject to this. I would have an encounter, whack, and the anxiety be gone. Like, I'd almost to the point where when I started feeling pushback, which is what you feel, I got excited because I'm like, if I feel pushback, it's because something's about to go boom, right? It's like that tide drawn in and then whoosh, hits the beach. So it's like, if you feel any sort of pushback or fear, or you're, you know, you're like, well, what about this, 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 and this? You know what I mean? I would just encourage you, it's, that's your invitation, you know. Gideon went into the, you know, God said, hey, Gideon, I got this for you. And Gideon was like, I'm afraid. So what did God say? Well, go into the enemy's camp and listen to what they say. Sometimes the devil, more often than not, overplays his cards. And what did the people say about Gideon? God is with him and Gideon is going to crush us. So they heard, Gideon heard his destiny out of the mouth of the enemy. So sometimes what happens is we hear the enemy and his accusations or fear, but if you listen real closely, your destiny is actually what he's speaking. And you say like, oh, if he's making me afraid or he's trying to hit me at this point, it's because I'm intended to walk into this point. And if he is trying to make me afraid of it, it's because he is afraid of it and he doesn't want me there. So you use that as like a momentum and you actually just shift your ears and you say, well, if you're saying that, then I'm going after that. You know what I mean? So, but it is a choice, you know, like it's a choice. Like the way it has been taught to me is this is for everyone, 100%, and it can be activated in everyone. He's God. There are exceptions where in his sovereignty, he said, I will pour it out on this person so that it cannot be denied and they will activate. You know, an evangelist who holds the office of evangelism, they make evangelists. You know, if you're a prophet and you hold the office of prophet, you equip the body to prophesy. You know, it's when God sovereignly chooses, you know, like an apostle or a prophet or whatever, when he says that one is meant for that, he's doing it so that the whole body can benefit and be built into what has happened in that place. And most of the time, the people who are chosen in the office of things like that feel the most fear and the most resistance when it comes to that gift, but they flow in it the most naturally. So for you, it's probably really easy for you to...